We're going to read a couple of scriptures. I'm going to be very short on speaking on them because I'm hoping that we're going to have a good lot of people who want to come and share testimonies about what God's done in 2018 and what they are seeking God for in prayer for 2019. That's the hope. May not happen. If they don't come, you get a longer sermon afterwards, so don't worry. Bonus, whatever. So that's good. So our first reading is from Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. And it's the parable of the persistent widow. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge said. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on earth. Amen. And from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Oh, there's the last verse I must have missed. And if you then though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There are two exciting verses on persistence in prayer, but sometimes we get them a bit wrong. We always think that these talking about persistence of prayer is about getting what we want. I don't know about you, but I've got a list of things that I really, really like, and I'm thinking, if I'm going to be persistent with God and keep knocking and banging and asking, God will give me them. There's always a question, well, those things will be good or bad. I may want them, but they may not be good for me. They may not help me. They may take me down a direction in life that I don't really want to go in. If God gives me lots of wealth and money, I might just move to the Caribbean and lie on the beach. That wouldn't be much use for God there. I could share my testimony to the person next to me on the beach bed, but I could guarantee if I had lots of money, I'd probably disappear and lie on the beach for the rest of my life. So money's probably not a good thing for me, so it's good that I'm relatively poor. So that's a good thing and a blessing from God. So God knows sometimes about things that we would like, but maybe we shouldn't always have. But the persistent widow, she's annoying this judge. This is an evil judge. He doesn't care about man or what people think about him. He doesn't care what God thinks about him. You know, you've met people like that before, haven't you? Maybe it's your boss at work. I don't know. But there's people around we meet like that all the time who are consistently don't care about people. They don't care about God. They don't care about anything. They want what they want. They decide what they decide. And whatever they decide, that's it. That's the law. And this judge, she gets a bit embarrassed because there's this widow who's just persistent. And basically what she does is every time the judge comes out the court or his law, she jumps and shouts from her front of him, "Give me justice!" Sometimes she might go and slap him in the face. That was the tradition of those days, to slap the judge and go, "Give me justice." Can you imagine that today? Condemned to court, put in prison straight away, wouldn't you? But this widow would be persistent in slapping this judge, shouting at him and saying, "Give me justice, give me justice, give me justice." And he'd be getting embarrassed and fed up. And everywhere he goes, he's got this little widow lady shouting out, "Give me justice, this person's done wrong to me, give me justice." Now she's been persistent in one thing. What has she been persistent in? She wants justice. Now she's not been persistent in saying, "Oh God, I want everybody to have justice. I want peace in the world. I want the whole earth to have justice. I want everybody to have water and medicine and care and all that." And if these are great things that we should pray for. But she's focused. She knows what she wants. She knows what she wants from this judge. She knows what she requires. And she's persistent that she gets it. And it's justice, and God thinks justice is important, that we should get justice. So she's in line with God. She knows that God wants her to have justice. How's she going to have it? She's going to pursue until she gets that justice. Now, what are you like in your prayer life and your desire for God? Do you have anything in your head that you want from God? Do you have anything in your head that you want to be? Has God declared upon you, like Gideon, that you're a mighty warrior and you don't believe God? You go, "What? Me? I'm a coward, I'm not a mighty warrior." Has God declared upon you you're going to be a prayer warrior, an evangelist, a prophet, an apostle? Has God declared upon your life that you're going to transform lives, change lives, bring hope, bring joy into the people's lives around you, that you're going to be a person who brings faith? That when you see things in this world, when we see that 95% of our kids in this country don't go to church anymore, have no contact with church anymore, does that not break a heart and said, should we not be persistent in praying that our kids should go to church again? That God starts to impact the hearts of families and children. You know, it's lovely to pray for schools, but actually shouldn't we be praying for our kids and our schools that they know God again? That in our churches that we become raised up and successful and reaching out to our families and children who no longer know the gospel, the truth. Are we persistent in that? Are we persistent in our prayer for our neighbours, for our loved ones, for the sick, for those who are hurting? What has God put upon your heart? Just like the widow, she wanted justice. What do you want? Are you praying about it? Are you seeking God about it? You know, it's so easy that we get into an aspect of devotions and we get comfortable with God and we get there, a nice sofa and a nice hot chocolate and our Bible opened and sort of sit there and read our daily reading, and God says, "Oh, it's all wonderful," and it becomes a bit like, God's going to speak to me today, and it's kind of become a bit like horoscopes for some Christians, you know, and you're just sitting there and hoping that God will say something to you and praying, and, "Oh, that's good," and you carry on with your life and you forget about God for the next 12, 15, 16 hours until maybe you wake up in the morning again and think, "Oh, maybe I should spend some time with God again." But I know in each and every one of us that God has put on us our hearts a passion, a desire for prayer, for purpose, for justice, for peace, for love, for hope, for this church to grow, for revival. Amen. Oh, praise God. Sometimes I think it's just me. But God has put our hearts to pray for things. And what are we going to pray for? What are we going to seek? And are we on our knees when we have as much free time as we have, when we have that moments where we can sneak away with God? Are we on our knees in our prayer room? Are we on there saying, "God, hear my cry, hear my prayer, God. Bring children to faith. Bring revival. Bring hope into my neighborhood. Touch my neighbors. Bring peace. Bring joy. Touch the world where there's terrorism. Lord, I'm seeking you. You put this on my heart and I can't let it go. I'm going to persist, God. I'm going to persist and seek you until you bring this in my heart, until you bring me peace or resolution or answer to this prayer. I'm going to seek you and I'm not giving up." And Jesus, with his disciples, they came to him and said, "Teach us to pray, isn't it? The disciples didn't really ask Jesus to teach them much, but the one thing they asked him to teach was to pray. And I believe that's because of the example of the prayer life of Jesus. They saw Jesus on his knees praying to his Father, seeking him, doing what his Father's will that came from prayer. And they saw that prayer life of Jesus and they said, we want that. We want to pray like Jesus. You know, he's healing the sick, he's raising the dead, he's doing this, he's feeding people. But actually teach us to pray like you pray, Jesus, because that's the source of all power and authority in life. We want to pray like you pray, because if we can pray like you pray, then everything else will come from that. Amen. And so they teach us to pray, and he taught them the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. He talked about intimacy with God, of seeking God, of being in relationship with God, of confessing our sins and forgiving the sins of others. Sometimes we confess our sins, but we never really forgive the sins of others, do we? That's the hard part. Even though God, when we pray to him, says, I'm ready to forgive. I know your heart intimately and I see you, yet I still love you and I forgive you and I give everything for you. Forgive my sins as I forgive those who have sinned against me. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then he goes on to explain about knocking on a door, about a friend who you wake up at midnight. I don't think midnight's late nowadays, is it, really? No, I think midnight, most people are up watching TV, Jeremy Kyle or something, midnight late. They'd be doing something at night, wouldn't they? And they'd be, but maybe 2 or 3 in the morning, you go and you knock on your neighbour's door. Hopefully your neighbour knows you. That's another thing, your neighbour might not know you nowadays, but maybe your neighbour knows you. You knock on the door and you ask them, I've got a friend coming, they're alive, arriving in an hour's time at 4 in the morning, I need them some food. I don't have some food, can you give me some food? What would your reaction be? Be a bit like Shrek to the donkey, wouldn't it? Go away! I think your neighbour would be pretty upset, you know, they would be, what are you doing here? What, you want bread? Can't you just go to a 24-hour shop? Why are you knocking on my door? But the sense of your friend, Jesus said, your friend might not give you bread because he's your friend, but he'll give you the bread because he wants to go back to bed again. And you stop knocking on his door. And Jesus, the same way, we need to knock on the door of God and persevere in God, and seek God in prayer and ask after prayer. But again, we can think about that as being not focused. It's persistent prayer for what we want. We're knocking God's door for what we want, what we desire. Now, Jesus knocked on the door of God because he wanted to do his Father's will. He wanted to do the things that his Father desired him to do, to say the things that his Father wanted him to say, to do the ministry that his Father desired him to do. So when we knock on God's door, don't expect to get all your prayers answered, but expect to get a commission. Expect to get a task, expect to get a responsibility, expect to get a challenge to go out there and live the way that God wants you to live for him. And Jesus says, at the end of the text there, we get the answer. He says, which of you fathers, if your sons ask for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So when we knock on that door of God, when we're knocking, saying, God, hear me, I need bread. The bread that we're asking for is the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? When we're knocking at God's door at midnight saying, God, answer. God, hear me. God, I've got all these issues. I've got all these problems. Hear me, God. God's answer is the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be anointed with the Holy Spirit. Be empowered with the Holy Spirit. That's the food you need to feed you and to feed your friends. Did you know that? And so, God, I want to be an evangelist. Well, you need the Holy Spirit. God, I want to be a prophet. Well, you need the Holy Spirit. And so when you go knocking on God's door, and you're there all hours, you're asking for the Holy Spirit. You're asking, fill me, give me more. When we're a church and we're knocking on God's door and we're praying and we're persistent in prayer, what are we asking for? The Holy Spirit. Amen. And we're asking for more. We're asking not just for ourselves, but we know we've got friends who are coming at unexpected times, friends when we don't know when they will come. But we want to be prepared and ready so when they come, we can feed them with the... Wow, you guys are getting good. Yeah. So we're persistent because we want to be powered and filled with the Holy Spirit that we might bless, that we might love, that we might lift up, that we might raise up in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to stop there. I promised I would. So, right, so we have some testimony time. So I did learn a few new words up in Glasgow, you know, because I've been down in England for a long time, so I forget my Glaswegian. But I heard a lovely phrase on Sucky Hall Street in Glasgow. The chap was on the phone, and he was supposed to meet somebody, and they didn't come. And he says, didn't he say you have me? Because you have. Does anybody know what that means? Didn't he say you have me? Because you have. Oh, wow, I think he understands Glaswegian. Don't say you haven't because you have. Didn't he say you haven't because you have? There we go. So if you've said you're going to give a testimony, didn't he say you haven't because you have? Okay.